The Gospel of John and chapter number 11. It is a great miracle that takes place in John chapter number 11. Lazarus is raised back to life by our Lord Jesus. And he was called out of the grave by only four words. Lazarus, come forth. Three words. I counted wrong. Lazarus, come forth. That great miracle was performed by the voice of Jesus Christ. By the way, my friend this evening, Jesus is still in business. The book says this. The good book that you've got in your hand says this tonight. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and you know the rest of it? Forever. The same Savior that called Jesus, the same Savior Jesus that called Lazarus out of the grave, one day will call you out of the grave. There is a resurrection day, my friend. And that is the great hope tonight that the believer has. You see, Muhammad and Islam does not promise a hope of the resurrection. Buddha and Buddhism neither does Confucianism promise a resurrection from the dead. But Jesus Christ called Lazarus out of the grave, restored his life back to him. I'm glad tonight that I serve a Savior with such power that he can raise the dead. You say, preacher, have you ever seen a dead person come back to life? Yes, I have. That's not just something I read about in a book. I have seen dead people come back to life. I have seen people that were dead in trespasses and sins. Like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, dead in trespasses and sins, dead in their drunkenness, dead in their adultery, dead in their whoredoms, dead in their false religion, and the book of God get planted down in their heart, and new life get implanted to them, and a new direction is given to their feet. My friend, I have seen sinners quickened by the great book of God. So tonight, the resurrection is not just some speculation that I speak about tonight. It is reality in my own heart and in my own life, because I know what it was like to be dead in sins, and I know what it is like for God's words to impart a new life to me. By the way, case you tired, my friend, of where you're at tonight, there is a book that's got the power to impart new life to you if you'd let loose of your sin. Whew. And what a life he can give you. He came, he said, to give you life and give you life more abundantly. That's a whole bunch of it, a whole bunch of life he can give to you. Oh, that was just me killing time so you could find John chapter 11. It's not hard to find. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Maybe it is hard for you to find. Matthew, Mark, Luke. And then chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 11, if you are at John chapter 11, would you stand with me, please, out of respect for God's great and good book? I am delighted to be in God's house tonight and have God's book and God's people around me. It just does not get any better or gooder than that in this life. John chapter number 11. Let us read verses 1, 2, and 3 out loud together. John chapter 11, verse number 1, 2, and 3 is what we will read for our passage this evening. Are you ready? Are you set? Let's read. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And I'll read verse 4 for you. When Jesus heard that, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Let's bow our heads. Let us have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, my Father, I would ask for you this evening to please, would you come here and would you meet with us? Would you please work in our hearts and in our lives? May you give us grace. May your will be done in each one of us. May the word of God have free course and be glorified. Spirit of God, I yield myself to you. Please, would you fill me? Please, would you use what is said to please, please, please help somebody in Jesus' name. Help several somebodies in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. Our Lord visited in the home. He visited in the home of Mary and Martha more than, it would seem, any other people we have recorded for us in the New Testament. This home was in the town of Bethany. It was not a great metropolis. It was just a town. But I'm delighted tonight to announce to you that places that God visited when he was here, walking among us, were not the world capitals, but most of the places that he visited were villages and towns. Now, John's gospel mainly records what our Lord did in Judea, the southern part of Israel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, they record what our Lord did in the northern part of Israel, or Galilee and Capernaum and that area. Now, this was, I would say to you, a happy home. It had to have been a happy home because our Lord Jesus went there so often. It was a decent home. I would think that it was a decent home because so many times our Lord Jesus went, sat there at the table, ate with them, conversed with them. I would suggest to you this evening, my friend, the problem with our homes this evening is one simple thing, a spiritual problem. And what we lack tonight is Christian homes and Christian families. It is not enough to attend church. I want to have a Christian home. I want to have a home where the Lord Jesus is welcome to sit at my table. So often he was a guest in this good and happy home of Mary and Martha. It's a sad thing that some people, they are church attenders and that is it. They give God their 1 hour on Sunday morning, but that is it. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, no communion with God, no fellowship with God, no prayer, no Bible study, no Christ. But I would say tonight you see something very different in the home of Mary and Martha. In this little village is a home where Jesus would come, Jesus would sup, he would sit at the table. He was a welcome guest there. I want God in my home tonight, my friend. I don't just want God on Sunday morning from 10 to 11. I want God on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I want God in my home, just like Mary and Martha and Lazarus. They have a happy home and a Christian home and a decent home and a well-ordered home. But look in verse number 3. In this home, a shadow of sorrow falls. Upon this home, the gloominess and despondency of sickness falls. Verse number 3. Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Can I tell you tonight that just because I follow the Lord Jesus, just because you're a child of God tonight, that's not going to prevent some shadow of sorrow from entering your home. It doesn't do that tonight. It doesn't mean because I follow Jesus, I'll never be sick. Because I follow Jesus, I'll never have problems. But what it does mean tonight is that Jesus Christ can use those problems, that he can use those sicknesses, that he can use those heartbreaks, he can use those griefs tonight, that all of it can be, like we see in verse number 4, for the glory of God. It doesn't mean, well, I'm a child of God, and because I'm saved, bless God, I'm never going to have any money problems. I'm never going to have any marriage problems. I'm never going to have any problems with my kids. My life is just sunshine and roses. No, 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 my friend. No, that's not the truth tonight, my friend. I beg you, don't think that that's how the Christian life is. The Christian life in this generation means we carry a cross. It's up there that we get the crown. It's up there that we get the sunshine and roses, but not down here. A shadow falls upon this beautiful home. It was a home that was passionate about Jesus Christ. They loved him. Mary especially loved him. You can go back in the Gospel of John, and you could see how Mary had anointed and cared for the Lord Jesus and had performed the lowest act, the menial act of stooping down and washing his feet and anointing him and caring for him like a slave would. It's interesting that there are people that they will do something for God as long as the light is shining on them. But sweep a floor? No, 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 no. You see, I can sing. I'm a teacher. I can perform. I wouldn't do something so menial and low as that. But Mary was, and I believe Martha as well, they were passionate about Jesus Christ. But don't mistake that tonight, my friend, for meaning because I love the Lord Jesus, no problems are ever going to befall me. Now notice what they did in this difficult time. Verse number 3. Do you see what they did in this difficult time? His sisters sent unto him. Lazarus is sick. What do we do? He's at the point of death. What do we do? Well, they immediately send for the Lord Jesus. I can tell tonight who you think is important in your life by who you turn to when you're in trouble. Let me go around that block again. I can tell who you think is important in your life by who you turn to when you're really in deep trouble. Who's the first person that you call? Who's the first person that you text? Who's the first person that you send a note to saying, you gotta pray, you gotta do something, please could you come visit? We are in trouble. They send to Jesus. By the way, my friend, I'm glad for doctors. I'm glad for psychologists. I'm glad for psychiatrists. But the first thing that a believer ought to do is go to Jesus with your problems. Go to Jesus with your troubles. Go to Jesus with your sorrows. Send to him and send to him first. First. First in their difficult time. They turn to Jesus Christ. Why would they do that? He said to. Matthew chapter number 11, verse number 28. He said to. He invited them to do that. He said, come unto me, all that are labored, all that are weary. Come to me, all ye that are weary and that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Why could they turn to Jesus Christ in this great extremity? He had invited them. Did he not say, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you? I can tell you tonight who you regard the highest in your life by who you run to when you are in trouble. We're so carnally minded that the first thing we'll do is we'll run to a doctor, we'll run to a friend, we'll run to a psychologist, we'll run to a psychiatrist. Hey, here's what I say tonight. Run to God. Run to Christ. Send for Jesus. Send for Jesus. Lazarus is sick. Hey, you got home troubles tonight? Send for Jesus. You got a broken heart tonight? Send for Jesus. You got trouble in your family? Send for Jesus. He invited you to. Well, the sisters of Lazarus knew where Jesus was. That's how they got the messenger to him. They had sent to him and said, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And Jesus heard that, verse number 4. Aren't you glad tonight that he hears? Aren't you glad tonight that he does not turn a deaf ear to a believer's troubles? Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know what it means to be born again, if you think, you know, Jesus, oh, he's just so cute, and he's just so funny, and he's just a fable, and you think that, you know, you being some piece of dust can question God. Well, you're not on praying ground, and when you get in trouble, hurry and run to your psychologist, and they can give you another pill, and it's not going to fix you. Hurry and run to your banker, and maybe they can loan you a little bit more money so you can go deeper in debt, but that's not going to fix you. Hurry and go to some counselor when you got family problems. But my friend, he has promised that if I am not on praying ground, he promised in his book, I will not hear them. But he heard the sisters of Lazarus when they sent him this bad message. Look how simple the message is. Verse number 3. You see how simple that message is? It's so easy. Lord, it's so sweet. Lord, the one you love is what? No great flowery prayer. No great long embellished message. The one you love is sick. Isn't that sweet? Isn't that simple? Isn't that just right to the point? They don't come to him and they don't send this message to him. It says, Lord, you know how much that we love you. No, they don't speak of their own love for him. They just simply speak of his love that he has, his great love that he possesses for them. You see, my love for him is too frail, weak, small, fickle. It's too tiny to even mention tonight. But his love for me, that's like trying to describe the Pacific Ocean. Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. They don't mention, well, we love you and I washed your feet and you've sat in our house. No, no, no. I would not speak to you tonight of my love for him. But my friend, you could not silence the love that he has for you. I'm so glad my Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. The message was short and simple, and it was personal. Do you see that? Behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Lord, it's a personal message. You know, my friend, here's what I've learned. The best thing in life is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not that I know about him. I know him tonight. It's not that I've read about him. I know him tonight. It's not that, yeah, I could explain to you Genesis and Exodus and the Passover lamb, and I could probably explain to you some of the sacrifices in Leviticus, and I could explain to you some of the laws in Deuteronomy. too many believers look at that book like it's a math book, something to dissect and diagram and things like that. It's a love story, my friend. And I'm glad tonight I know the author. Close with this. I was in Juniata, beautiful Juniata, right by the whistle stop. You know the whistle stop? You raise your hand as long as you don't stop at the whistle stop, because then that'll get you another 45 minutes of preaching. Well, it's just down the street from the whistle stop. No, I didn't stop there either. It's just down the street from the whistle stop. Guy came pushing another gentleman in a wheelchair. As he came pushing the wheelchair past me, I stopped him. I handed a gospel tract to him. To the fella in the wheelchair, I said, "Sir, if you died, and it was tonight, would you go to heaven? Would you go to hell? Or don't you know?" He said, "I don't know." I stood there and talked to him and shared the gospel with him for a little bit. I told him that, you know, sir, all of us have sinned. That's why we all need a Savior. By the way, even if you don't believe the Bible tonight, my friend, you can look at life in general and say we've all done things we're ashamed of. We all have done things that our conscience bothers us about. Shared the gospel with him. I told him how they had crucified Jesus of Nazareth. By the way, even if you don't believe the Bible, it's not possible to say that Jesus of Nazareth, it's not an intellectual argument that you can make to say Jesus of Nazareth didn't exist. That's not possible. He was real. He's not a fictitious character. I said they took Jesus of Nazareth down and they buried him in the grave. After he was dead and buried for 3 days, they came to his grave. The body was not there. Hundreds of people saw him in various different places at various different times. There are hundreds of eyewitnesses that saw him risen from the dead. That's not blind faith. That is evidence, my friend. That is enough evidence that if presented in a court of law would convince a well-minded jury of those facts. He looked at me from that wheelchair and he said, "Sir, you're kind of weird." Boy, that's the first time I've been told that. "Not?" He said, "You talk like you know him." I do. And I'm so glad that I do. Doesn't make your life sunshine and roses, doesn't stop the sickness from coming to the house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus, but here's what it does do. It means that whatever you've been through, you might not have been through what we read about in John chapter 11 where a loved one dies, but whatever you've been through, it means God can use it for God's glory. It means God can use it for God's honor. It means whatever difficulty, whatever loss, whatever sickness, whatever loved one has departed from you, somehow, in some way, God can use that. The book of Corinthians says this: we are to comfort those that are in trouble by the comfort that we get. So you've been through trouble? It might not have been like John chapter 11 where you had a loved one who was sick and who dies, but you've been through stuff. Now here's why you went through stuff. Because there's somebody else somewhere out there that's going to need to go through it, that's going to try and go through the same stuff, and they're not going to get through that same stuff unless there's someone saying, hey, I've been through that. You can get through it too. Come on this way. This is the way. God can make a way for you. Come on. Follow God. Follow Christ. Go this way. I've been through it. You can get through it too. We get to the end of the verses that we read, and Jesus said this: "This sickness isn't unto death. It's not fatal. It is for the glory of God. It is so that God would be honored." So, my friend, everybody going to go through stuff. Here's the question. You going to waste what you've been through? You just going to waste it? Are you going to waste what you've been through? You're going to waste the difficulties you've been through? Don't waste them. Let God use them. Let God use them to help somebody. They are tools put in your hand. You're going to waste the hard times you've been through? Don't waste the hard times you've been through. They are tools that God puts in your hand to help somebody, to cheer somebody on. This sickness isn't unto death. It's just something God is doing to show that he is really, really strong, stronger than death, fact is. Let's bow our heads. Let us have a prayer together this evening. My Lord, thank you for raising Lazarus from the dead. It gives me hope this evening that you're stronger than death, that there is life after death, and that you have conquered death, and your powerful words raise the dead. I'm thankful this evening that I have the hope of the resurrection, that I'm not just going to die and that's all there is to it, but I'm going to die and I'm going to see God, and I'm going to die and I'm going to be free from all my sorrow. And I'm going to die and I'm going to be free from all my sin and from all my heartache and all my grief, and I'm going to see God. What great hope that is. Now, Lord, I pray this evening that several somebodies would look at the troubles they've been through and say, I'm not going to waste this. I'm going to let God use this. Now, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I urge you this evening, if you're not a believer, if you're not a believer, if you think that this evening that God and the Bible and Jesus are just hocus pocus and you think it's kind of cute by thumbing your nose at Christ, my friend, I urge you to turn. I urge you to turn. I beg you to turn. Put your faith in him and follow him. If you're here tonight and you've just been through it, there's a reason you've been through it. There's somebody that you're going to help because of what you've been through. Here's what I'd urge you to do. When the music plays, you come. And you come and bring your sorrow. You come and bring your disappointment. And you bring it to this altar and say, God, here it is. And I don't understand it, and I don't get it, and it sure does hurt. But I'm committing this to you, and it's going to be for your honor. That's going to be your tool. Please, would you use it? Let's stand together. Let us stand together, rise to our feet. The music will play. If God has spoken to your heart this evening, I urge you when the music plays, step from your seat, come to the altar and kneel and say, God, into your hands I commit this. The music will play. You do as the Spirit of God places upon your heart on this evening.